Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, entertaining, and enjoying themselves outside with delicious food. Each week, we'll share some barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. Every show will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests. And we'll also answer listener questions. Please send your questions to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and click podcast. Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm here with Dr. Andre Jones,
dun, dun.
My co-host.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm great, doctor. Great.
Good. Yeah. Good to see you.
Man, I'm excited about today's show.
Oh?
Yeah.
What we got going on?
Well, today we're going to talk about... We talk a lot about grilling, mm-hmm. talk a lot about barbecuing, but I don't think we've ever touched on this subject about grilling and cooking breakfast on the grill.
Oh, breakfast on the grill.
Breakfast on the grill.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think this is a good time, especially here in Arizona, to go ahead and talk about it because... it's going to be blazing hot soon.
Not a lie.
And not a lot of people want to heat up the kitchen.
No.
And
it takes a long time to cool it down.
Right. And our mornings are so wonderful.
They're beautiful.
Right. Beautiful. Wonderful. Mm. And we could, and you could just go out to your outdoor kitchen or your mm-hmm. outdoor spot or whatever, and you could just set up and have breakfast out there.
Wow.
Before the heat of the day.
Oh, really?
And not heat up your house. And yeah, just on the grill.
Mm.
Right.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that, how to do breakfast on the grill.
Uh-huh.
And but then at the same time, we have a wonderful guest today.
Oh?
Yeah, Wanda Moore.
Oh,
She does so many great things here in Southern Arizona
mm-hmm.
as it relates to heart health.
Oh, really?
Women's and minority heart health here.
Wow.
Yeah, she's an advocate. She's on different boards. She is definitely a leader here in the community as it relates to heart health.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. And so it's going to really be a great conversation
mm-hmm.
With Wanda Moore. And I would say stick around and you're definitely going to learn some things about heart health
mm-hmm.
and the kind of things we need to do to make sure that that we stay healthy.
Absolutely. Especially us minorities.
Right. It's going to be some surprises with just some of the things that she's done.
Ooh.
And so it's going to be a great conversation. So hang in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for our guest after we talk about breakfast.
Yes. Yay. All right, so I'm going to skip right to the heart of it. So how do I cook my eggs?
So the thing is, so we're going to have, you cook your eggs basically how you cook them in the house. But the thing about it is what we're going to do is we're going to purchase a griddle.
Oh, really?
Right.
That's how we do this.
Right. You know how you have griddles in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I recall once we had I've got that 54-inch gas grill.
Yeah.
And we had a family reunion at the house one time.
Oh.
And so I did all the pancakes and everything just right outside on the grill.
Get out of here.
Right. I had a couple of griddles and I'm out there flipping hot, flapjacks right there on right there on the griddle, man. We did it all outside, sausage and everything, just with the grill right on the grill. But what you're gonna do is, and they have some really nice griddles out there. I always prefer like the cast iron ones. They handle heat better. They hold the heat and the heat is more even on those cast iron griddles. It's another simple thing,
mm-hmm.
really, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you just heat up the griddle. You don't want to get too hot. And then you just You're out there using it to basically like you would
a stove.
Oh, my gosh. You're just using a griddle, but you just, it's all about the accessories here.
Right.
So you want to do that. And then, I mean, you cook your whole breakfast out there. And a lot of grills, you have the little side burner.
Mm-hmm.
You can
mm-hmm.
do your grits or your oatmeal.
Get
or whatever.
Out of here. No way. You know,
right on the side burner. Man, I mean, you're just taking it outside.
Literally.
What do you say? Doobie Brothers taking it to the streets?
Right. We're just taking it outside.
We're taking it outside.
So, in other words, you can make your entire, what you usually would make for breakfast.
Right. You just put it outside. Right. You're by the pool. You're right there, wow. man. You're in your swimming trunks ready.
Yeah.
You went in for your morning dip. And
right. Now, and now it's time to.
Now it's time to make the breakfast.
Oh man!
And you right outside, like I said, so you can do it there. You can mm-hmm. do your eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You can do your if you want to do sausage, bacon, whatever it is.
Right.
However you do it,
sure.
Whatever it is you have for breakfast, or mm-hmm. You can do it right there.
Wow!
On the grill, whatever you're cooking for breakfast, you can do it on the grill.
That's really awesome.
And even, I know this is going to be hard to believe.
I'm ready.
Yeah. You can even do biscuits.
Shenanigans.
Biscuits.
Red flag on the field. Right, yellow flag on the field.
Right. And the way you would do it.
How would you do that?
They've got another little attachment, right? It's like a accessory. It's mm-hmm. like a little raised rack.
Uh-huh.
You know, it has these little feet on it, mm-hmm. and it's just a wire rack, right? Mm-hmm. And so you would take the biscuits, and first thing you would do is throw them down on the griddle,
right?
Until they got brown, right?
Okay.
Until that one bottom side gets brown, down.
Right?
And then just pick them up, take them, set them on top of the rack, and then just close the grill and let them cook indirectly, like you would do. And then you could have some nice biscuits. So you can even do biscuits, man. So that gives you a lot of options. You could do your biscuits, and certainly you could do your pancakes or you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you can cook it in the house, you can cook it on the grill.
I'm looking, folks, you can't see my look on my face, but I'm really in shock. That's why I haven't said much of anything right now.
Yeah. When you get to the new townhouse,
yes.
You go outside with the grill, whatever. I mean, you can do breakfast right outside and have all your ingredients right there. And just
get
sit out and set up the table right there and just enjoy those Arizona mornings.
That means I have to get my mom, because she wakes up at 4 in the morning, 4 or 5 in the morning, and have her come over at 7.
Well, I mean, that's late in Arizona, because you know the sun's up.
I know.
The sun's already coming up at little 5 something.
Exactly.
So. Right.
Just do it before it gets hot.
Yeah, before it gets hot.
Have everything prepped before. There you go.
Of course.
I'll prep before.
Yeah, prep.
Then that way, when she comes over, it's ready.
Right.
I'll have to try it a couple times before she comes over, so that way I know it works.
Yeah.
But really, grits too?
I mean, we're talking about the side burner.
Oh,
you know, the
got
side
it.
Burner
yeah.
Where you put the pot.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, we're talking about the little side.
I don't think
side burner. You may not have a side burner.
I may not have one,
right?
But that doesn't mean I can't get one, right?
Right.
A little
side
burner.
A little side burner, man. You put the little pot on there. Yeah, you can cook your grits and oatmeal or whatever. All outside.
I'm speechless right now.
All right. So
I might need a moment.
So there we go. Breakfast on the grill.
Yeah. Folks, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say other than I guess we should try this.
Let's
try it, folks. Let's listen to Ken and try it.
Yeah. And I'm thinking right now that that may have to go into our final for May.
Oh, here we go.
Right. Yeah.
I don't get to move till July.
So you can get to your junior year.
Oh, it's my junior year. Could it be my summer project? Because I don't get to move in until July 8th.
Oh, okay. Well,
I got an extension on my final.
Yeah, you may get an extension. So, all right. Well, hey, that's breakfast on the grill.
Mm.
And it's time for us to take a break.
Uh-huh.
But when we return, we'll be answering a listener question.
Got a good one.
And then checking in with the doctor.
Da-da-da.
Our grill master. Pitmaster in training.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, so we'll be right back.
We here at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue would like to thank the fine people of Southern Arizona for voting us the best barbecue in town. So come on down and get your barbecue on at Ken's.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dr. Andre Jones.
Ta-da.
And he's ready to queue up a listener question.
That's right. We have from Joseph from Wichita, Kansas. He's asking, how long can you keep food out after barbecuing it?
Okay.
So you have your food. It's all done.
Yeah.
You're going to keep it out. So that way you have people getting food. And I see this a lot when I go to when I would go to, before COVID, BC.
Right.
I would go to barbecues and whatnot, and people had the food out, they just got done grilling, and then hours go on and we're still eating the food.
Yeah. A lot of people do that, man. Actually. Yeah. Now, personally, I threw a lot of big cookouts, but
yeah.
My cookouts, I have the food at temperature. When I say at temperature, we're using the chafing dishes.
Mm.
And so I have the food and it stays heated.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So what we're talking about, this question he's asking, it, I'm assuming that he's saying, how long can I keep it at room temperature?
Better question. Okay.
Right, right, right. And the answer to that question is... 2 hours.
Really?
Because there's this thing, it's called the danger zone.
Uh-huh.
And the danger zone.
There's a song
zone,
about this.
Yeah.
No?
There's a song, yeah. What's that? Top Gun?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
We talk about that?
this is the danger zone. So,
okay.
Right, right. And that is, and we're talking about Fahrenheit, 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, it's really 42 degrees Fahrenheit to 135 degrees. Right in that is a danger zone, and that what happens in that in between that zone again is what we talk about, foodborne illnesses.
Oh no,
just certain things can start developing and growing into food, and
really?
It makes people sick. So. A lot of times, you go to buffets, you see, and the buffets have to, and you see thermometers and people coming by and checking it, and that food sitting there has to stay at a certain temperature. And that temperature is, and according to the Pima County Health Department here, and it has to be 135 or above.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And that is to keep it from folks from getting sick.
Right. Right.
Right. So, when I have cookouts at my house, and we're constantly putting food out, but the food gets heated.
Mm.
So the first thing is, if you're warming up food, the temperature has to go to 165 degrees for 15 seconds. And then if you're going to be keeping the food on a line, for people to come and serve or to serve it, it has to stay at least at 135 degrees.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Right. And from there, you can just continue to serve it and... Right.
So warming plate would be good?
Yeah, you can have a warming plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then again, there you go with your trusty thermometer.
Right. Just to check it.
Right. And then you can go and check it and say, okay, food's good. It's there.
Yeah.
And then the cold stuff, you want the cold stuff at 41 degrees.
Okay.
Or below. And so typically, if you're going to have potato salad and stuff like that, you're going to have a sitting, you want it sitting in ice.
Right,
a
to
bowl
keep it cool.
Sitting in ice to keep it cool.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, if you don't want people coming home or getting a call the next day and, people have got sick from your party or whatever.
Sure.
That's typically the reason that people do get, or they're going to get sick from a party where the food's been sitting out the whole time.
Right.
And it's just at room temperature.
That makes sense.
Especially as it starts to heat up in the summertime, it could even go faster. So
Sure. Yeah. I was about to ask that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 2 hours.
2 hours. Two hours max, Joseph.
2 hours max. If you're not using, if you're not keeping it at temperature at 135 degrees.
Wow.
It's 2 hours.
You got it. You hear that, Joseph? That's what you got to do. 135 and above. For all your cookouts that I'm sure you're going to have over the summer, because it's summertime. It's pretty much almost summertime.
Yeah, it's going to come pretty soon.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Thank you so much for your question, Joseph. And to ask to leave us more questions for Ken to answer, you can go to either our website, kenshardwoodbbq.com, click on podcast and fill out a form down below, or send us an email to getyourbbqon@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's time for us to check in with our grill master, pit master, in training,
dun, 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 dun.
The doctor, da, da, da. Dr. Andre Jones.
That's me. That's me.
What's going on?
Well,
with the pit and the grill.
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you. It stayed cover this weekend. That's right. Oh. I went on vacation.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's right. I actually finally left the state. And went to Las Vegas, my All other right. home.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Man. It was dead. There's like no one there.
No one there.
No, it was great.
Yes. Yeah, not your the Vegas that you remember.
Right. No. Right. No, no. I was telling my godbrother, I was like, man, can it stay like this? But oh, everything open up, but stay right. like this? Right, is that right. possible? It's kind of nice. There's no lines anywhere. Wow. Like I go and see everything that I always wanted to do. However, this weekend was all about food. Like, it was literally all about food. Because one of the things I told my godbrother is that he has to feed me and make sure that I stay fed the entire trip.
The entire trip.
Exactly. So it was really about trying different restaurants and really seeing how they make their food.
Oh, that's
so
good.
It was really cool. We went to a very expensive buffet. I'm not going to call it out. I won't name its name. But I say, don't go there. That's all I would say. Mm-hmm. It was very, 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 very overpriced for what they had. However, what
can you tell me what kind of buffet? What cuisine or whatever?
It had a little bit of everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was one of those that had a little everything.
It's just a whole Americana.
And it was one of the only buffets open at the time because there's no buffets open in Vegas, right, which I was very disappointed because that's how I get fattened up is through buffets.
Yeah.
So, however, one of the cool things is that we actually found some things that we didn't know what it was.
What?
I think they made a special type of quiche, and we looked at it and we tasted it and we're like, okay, we can do that.
Right.
We can make that. Whoa, okay, cool. Whoa, all right, okay. cool. Mm-hmm. So we were like trying different things and going like, how did they do this?
Hmm.
Okay, I want to figure out how to make that. Awesome. We also went to a Mexican restaurant. I got some enchiladas because enchiladas are my weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw how they made their enchiladas. And I was like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm, I have some ideas on how to make the enchiladas. I watched them grill their chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I watched them very closely on how they grilled their chicken and what they did and what seasoning and spices. I can't really see, but I'm seeing them how they sprinkle their seasoning and spices
You're just watching all the techniques and
they're doing it as it was cooking. Like that was interesting. Yeah. Like
so they have it on and season it while it's on the grill.
Yeah.
And griddle or whatever.
Yeah. And one of my questions about that was, is that something we could be doing? Do you recommend that we're seasoning it while it's grilling, or do we do it while prep, or what's the convenience between the two?
So were they using a grill or are they using a?
Oh, they're grilling.
Oh yeah.
They're grilling.
Right. It's not my preference.
No,
I'd rather prep it and season it while I'm prepping when I prep it.
Mm, got
and,
it.
But whatever floats your boat.
Got it. Yeah. Your flavor. Your style.
Your style, your flavor. Yeah.
I love it. All right. So then at the very end, after being fed tons of food, tons and tons of food, my godbrother decided to make ribs for me.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. I know. I'm excited.
Ribs.
Yes. But it was a prepackaged and already done ribs. So put them in the oven.
Oh my goodness.
There was no grilling.
Call that making ribs for me.
That was heating up some ribs for me. That was pretty much all it was.
Oh my goodness. Already in sauce. Oh my goodness.
Right.
Man.
I'm like, what are we doing here?
What in the world?
Right. It's like 10 o'clock at night.
I'm like,
I'm hungry. He's like, oh, I got ribs. I'm like, oh, yay. Okay, cool. Ribs. And it's not the ribs I'm thinking. These are not the ribs. It was like, it was like very Star Wars. This is not the ribs you were looking for.
Yeah.
They came out okay. But it was there's something else that we did that he did that was really interesting that I want to try at home. It was zucchini.
Yeah.
And what he did is he guessed at this. This was his guess. And he cut the zucchini up in like halves, right? And then he poured, and I mean literally poured, soy sauce all in it, all top or around it. You know, just soaked it in soy sauce and put it in the oven also.
Mm.
It actually came out really, really good.
Mm.
That was like the best thing. The ribs were all right, but the zucchini, I have some. I'm going to recreate that meal.
Yeah.
With ribs my way, though. I'm going to make my own ribs. It really, when I took the first bite, I was like, I feel like I cheated on my grill. I let my grill down. I'm going to have to go home and grill. I got to come home and grill. Man. So I just got home last night, and I'm already preparing to make some ribs because I got to recreate that meal, but I got to do it my way.
Yeah.
So that was my weekend. I had a nice, restful, lots of food weekend, and I'm ready to get back into the grill of things. I'm sure my daughter misses my cooking.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned lots of food, but
yeah,
I didn't sound like a lot of good food.
It was good for the moment. It was good as it was needed. We went. Right. I had a burger for the first time in months.
Wow.
We went to a restaurant up there, and I had a big burger. And I'm like, man, I can make this big burger.
Is this
burger.
A gourmet burger place or just
no,
a burger joint?
It was a sports bar.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. One of the casino sports bars.
Believe it or not, there was no slot machines at this one. Now that you said that. Yeah, there was no slot machines. Mm. It was just a sports bar.
Oh,
okay. Had all the sports playing around.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe I now have
a sports bar burger.
Yeah. Okay. It was good.
Yeah. Okay.
But I can make it better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's what I've learned, Ken. After all these months of being almost a year of being a pit master in training, grill master in training,
it's been a long time since you did burgers.
It has. I've been staying away from burgers. I don't know why. Yeah. I really should get back and do a burger.
Long time since you did burgers. Mm-hmm. But
I've kind of advanced.
Beyond
them.
I mean, you were on a burger kick for a minute.
Yeah, because it was like it's the thing I trusted the most. But I really, ribs and burgers, I'm going to go back to. It's been a little while since I mixed it up with some ribs and a burger.
Well, hey, we're getting into the season, so that'll be great.
It's burger season. And what I haven't done in a long time also is the Hebrew Nationals. So,
right.
Yeah.
Dogs and burgers.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that time. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be moving soon, so I'll have my new grill.
July.
I'm so excited about moving.
Right around the time.
Yes.
Is it before or after 4th of July?
It'll be after 4th of July.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what we're going to do for 4th of July, because my house is going to be in boxes, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe you'll get invited somewhere, man.
Hopefully. That'd be good.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. Ribs this week. And burgers this week.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is our pit master in training stories. Another from the doctor.
That's
Dr.
right.
Dr. Andre Jones.
That's me.
All right. So it's about time for us to take a break. But when we return.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the good news.
We're going to be bringing you the good news.
Woo-hoo, it's the good news.
Good news. Yeah, we're going to be talking to Wanda Moore,
and
it's going to be a great conversation, so please stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hey, folks, it's your favorite pitmaster of training, Dr. Andre Jones himself, and I'm super excited to let you know that I have my very own show. That's right, I'm the host of All About the Win podcast, where myself and my fellow players interview local and national entrepreneurs about their greatest accomplishment thus far. Plus, we add a little bit of old school magic to bring those stories to life. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify by searching All About the Win, that's W-I-N podcast, or visit our website at www.allaboutthewin, that's W-I-N podcast.com, and be prepared to be inspired and entertained.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. And I'm here with the doctor.
Dun, da, da, da.
Dr. Andre Gomes. Da, 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 da. All right. And it is time for us to bring you the good news.
Woohoo! Who we got?
Yeah, we're here with Wanda Moore.
Oh.
Yeah, Wanda's the chair of the University of Arizona Solver Heart Minority Outreach Program. She's been around a long time here in Tucson and doing a lot of great things. And Wanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Wow. We've been wanting to get you on the show for a long time, and just looking at a lot of the great things you've been doing here in Tucson. And I mean, just to name a few, I mean, just to get us started. Yeah, you're the chair of the University of Arizona Solver Heart Minority Outreach Program, co-chair of the Women's Heart Health Education Committee. You're the founder, I guess in 2009, you founded the Community Coalition for Heart Education.
Yes.
Right. You have been on the Urban League Board of Directors.
Yes.
The Black Board of Directors Project, Community Foundation of Southern Arizona Board, Girl Scouts, Habitat for Humanity's Build Program, America's Heart Association's Go Red for Women campaign, and you're also a Delta.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Wow. Oh,
so,
yes.
Man, that's a lot. That's a lot. You're doing some wonderful things. So, like I said, it's an honor to really have you on the show.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. So you brought a lot to Tucson. But can I ask what brought you to Tucson?
At the time, it was General Dynamics.
We moved
from Southern California, mm-hmm. and General Dynamics brought about 3,300 of us here.
Wow.
In Tucson. And believe it or not, it was not the place I wanted to be.
Really?
Yeah, really?
Leaving Southern California, coming to Tucson?
Oh, yeah. By the ocean, the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then I came out here. We flew out 5 times.
Yes.
You know, looking for housing, getting ready for to relocate.
Okay. Yeah.
And I could never find any African American people.
Oh, wow.
I got here and every weekend I'd be looking for somebody.
Yes.
What year were you relocating to Tucson?
1993.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So we were driving down Alvernon because mm-hmm. we stayed at the hotels on Alvernon. We were driving down Alvernon. I saw a black lady. I said, Jim, stop the car. I need to meet her.
Yeah. Wow.
I was so excited to see her.
Right. Yeah.
And then the next opportunity, Raytheon had a tour.
Right.
And we got on a tour. And so it drove us around Tucson. And I said, where's the black church? Where do I get my haircut?
Right.
Where's the black community?
Right.
There is no black community.
Whoa.
That's what I was told.
That's what you were told.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Right.
And I thought, oh my God, what am I doing here?
Right. Yes.
And then I left. I was in international logistics mm-hmm. and coming to Tucson,
mm-hmm.
did not find that career.
Oh, wow. No.
Mm-hmm. So it was quite a challenge for me. My relocation, Jim came, staff intact, went to work. I'm trying to find a job.
Wow.
Now, the company did provide us a headhunter company that would help us write resumes and mm-hmm. help us look for jobs. But they didn't know what to do with me.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I had the credentials, had the education, just my career. So I changed my career. Mm-hmm. And went into supply chain.
Okay.
And it took me about 9 months to a year to get a job.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I had to start at the bottom and move back up.
Wow. Right.
That was my challenge.
Right.
So now think about that now. Why would somebody want to live in Tucson?
Right.
After that experience.
Right.
But as time went on and I got to meet more people mm-hmm. and I found my sorors and I found church people, found a church.
Right.
First church. Mount Calvary.
Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Mount Calvary. Yeah, that's the big church here in Tucson.
So once I found Mount Calvary mm-hmm. and I felt like, okay, maybe I can survive this.
Yeah.
Because I kept thinking, in 3 years, I'm going back to
I'm
California.
Out.
Right.
It will be back in California
oh,
soon.
Yes.
Right.
Right, right.
We didn't sell our house.
Mm-hmm.
We kept it for a year.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case. Just in case.
Because I kept saying, well, I could go back and you could visit me.
Yeah, I'm sure Jim wasn't happy about that.
No.
Right.
Yeah. He was not. You don't have to work. You can just stay home.
Yeah.
But well, what right. did I go to school for?
Right,
right.
Going to work.
Right.
So my challenge with Tucson was initially starting out was not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it got better and it got better. And the more people I met, the more involved I got,
mm-hmm.
the more comfortable I got.
Wow.
That makes
so
sense.
That's how we started out.
Mm-hmm.
And before California, where were you originally from?
Before California,
yeah.
Jim and I went to Florida A&M.
Oh, okay.
Oh really?
Yes. Yeah. That's where we met.
Okay. Wow, wow, all right.
Wow. That's where we met.
Yeah,
but we've been together ever since.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you got your degree and was in?
I started out in sociology,
mm-hmm.
and then I got 2 business degrees, and then I went to law school,
mm-hmm.
and then I got HR degrees.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And they couldn't find you a job?
No.
Get out.
Really?
Man, that's
all that?
Tragic.
Right. Very much so. I can see why it was like a this was really a problem when you got here. Like, what do you mean? No.
Right. And then I had a certification of CPM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I applied at Raytheon, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised. It was Hughes then.
It was
but,
Hughes right. then. That's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm still not surprised.
Right.
Right. You know.
But, well, a lot of the spouses did that came.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of them applied there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, my first job was at the city of Tucson in procurement.
Oh, okay. Cool. Cool.
And they started me at the very bottom.
Oof.
Yeah.
But I worked my way up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I figured I wasn't going any further,
I moved on.
Yeah,
right?
I did.
You moved on. You moved on.
Moved on and did better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before you, I mean, because you've done so many things in the community, so many volunteer
mm-hmm.
things in the community. So you had a career. I mean, so you were working in the supply chain and then so how'd you get from, you know, this, I would say, corporate life or whatever, to really so engaged in helping out in the community?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it only takes remembering where you came from
mm-hmm.
and knowing that African Americans have the highest risk of death than any other group.
Right, mm-hmm.
From
right, right.
all the major diseases, heart yeah. disease, mm-hmm. cancer, mm-hmm. diabetes, all of it.
Yeah.
And the experiences I had with my mom and the lousy care that she got.
Wow.
My sister that I lost to heart disease and the lousy care that she got.
Yes, yes.
And my daughter.
Wow.
That I lost to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did not get proper care.
Proper health care.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's, and then for me to realize that so many African Americans aren't aware of their health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, and then to know that the disparities are so vast.
Yeah.
They're so vast. There's systemic racism in healthcare.
Definitely.
There's mm-hmm. unconscious bias.
Mm-hmm.
There's racial bias.
Right.
And then there is the general stereotypical view of Black people.
Right, right.
One of the things that I hope for and that I strive for in all of my work is that eventually in medical school,
mm-hmm.
there will be cultural competencies.
Yes.
A wow. critical part of teaching physicians to treat all patients
right,
right.
equally.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just my history and the loss in my life
mm-hmm.
that said that I can do something with this. I have a strong background in this from experience
mm-hmm.
and from having worked around many medical people. So I just dug in.
So how did you become associated with the University of Arizona and what you're doing now?
I was working with the American Heart Association
mm-hmm.
and we had our big annual luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
It was at La Paloma.
Okay.
And I met a lady because I was chair of the executive leadership for the American Heart Association, Go Red.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I met a lady and she said, why do we have a group at the university for women with heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you come and join us?
Oh, wow.
And I said, okay, mm-hmm. I'll consider that.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't you call me? Tell me a little bit more about you and what you do. And she did. And we talked. And I said, okay, I made the first meeting.
Yeah.
And we talked. And they had a minority outreach program on paper, but it wasn't doing very much.
Hmm.
And so I work with one of the members until she left to take care of one of her children that was ill. And then I took it over. And then I want it to be real.
Mm.
I want it to reach and teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it to get more women involved. Because I know all of the major organizations we have here, everybody wants to do something to help somebody with healthcare.
Right.
I mm-hmm. figured I'd reach out to all the groups,
mm-hmm.
reach out to a lot of women that I knew and I had met.
Right.
Bring them together.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do awesome work.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
True.
But I wanted to make it real.
Yeah. Right.
So what motivates you to work in minority outreach health education?
Simply because I want them to be aware of their mm-hmm. risk factors. I want them to understand how greatly at risk they are. I want them to know and learn to be advocates for their health
mm-hmm.
and not go to a doctor's office and you're feeling chest pains and they tell you you have indigestion.
Right.
Oh, right.
And send you home.
Right.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
It happened to my girlfriend's sister.
Get out.
And
oh, no.
She'd been to the emergency room on 3 occasions.
Mm.
The fourth time, her sister took her, and it was, they couldn't find anything wrong, mm-hmm. just indigestion.
Mm-hmm.
She died in the car on the way back home.
Oh, no.
Yes.
My goodness. Yes.
And see, when I say disparities, that's because when she went to the emergency room, they didn't take her seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Black right. people have diseases. They have this, they have that. So it's just heartburn.
Right.
Wow.
We don't see anything else wrong. She died.
Mm.
Just like that. So that said to me, we've got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just talk to each other and encourage each other,
mm-hmm.
then we can make a difference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
And that's how we started out. And we have been moving ever since.
Yeah. So what is the name of your outreach committee?
It's actually the Community Coalition for Heart Health Education for Women of Color. Mm. But because it's so long, we say CCHHE.
Okay. And so how many people involved? How many members do you have?
We have 30 to 45 members.
Wow.
And we have 45 on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to activity and being active,
right.
it's about 30 of them that's really active and really working. They are still working with me, even during COVID.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Wow. So male and female?
Male and female.
Mm-hmm.
We only have 2 men.
Okay.
I guess it's too many women in the room for them.
Yeah, well,
so.
Well, you know. But yeah. And
every once in a blue moon, I can get Jim to go.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then you have 3 guys.
Yeah, then we
there
have
you
three.
Got three.
Oh,
I love it.
Yeah, I do too. Hey, so this outreach committee, mm-hmm. you're kind of looking at all, because, I mean, we all know that we know men, well, heart disease in African American women is huge.
It's huge.
And prostate disease and with men African American men
is huge.
Mm-hmm. And you just said and you just told us that we don't go to the doctor.
No.
And when we do go, we don't really get the proper care.
And we don't advocate.
Yeah. Mm. So talk to us a little bit about advocacy.
Okay. Let me give you an example of something. I'm very well aware of my health, my condition, my family history.
Mm-hmm.
And so with those factors,
yes.
if I feel something, I have a good idea of what's happening
mm-hmm.
to me. And then I'll go online and research it,
yes.
right.
look it up.
Right.
So when I go to the doctor, I can ask the right questions.
Yes. Sure.
And that's so very important
hmm.
because so many people, especially African Americans, they go to the doctor, they don't feel good. The doctor tells them, oh, you're okay, I'm gonna give you this.
Yeah.
And they go home.
Yeah.
And that's not the problem.
It's like being brushed off, basically.
Yes. Yeah. So we try to teach people, when you go into the doctor, have an idea what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell exactly what your symptoms are. And I said, don't let them just give you some pills and send you home.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tell them that, no, I don't think that's it because this hurts or this right. is bothering me.
Right.
So I want them to be able to check it out before they go to the doctor and know, have a good idea of what the problem is and don't settle for just being it's this or that when you know that's not the case. My sister had heart disease and she had several stents put in, but never was she told that her heart was failing.
Oh, so she should have been on a list or something.
Yeah, and then it got so bad, she never asked questions.
Oh,
whatever the doctor told her, she went along with.
Right.
Wow.
And then she was told she needed a heart.
Oh,
no.
She called me Neat. She says, Neat, I'm not putting nobody else's heart in my body. And I said, but Joyce, if you don't have a choice, well, he said, they're sending me to Birmingham to do surgery. They were going to do a bypass and put in new valves to support the heart. But unfortunately, that lasted about 6 months and then she died.
Wow.
But if she had just pushed her doctor to say, why am I having so many stents?
Yeah.
What's happening to me?
Right.
Well, what alternatives do I have?
Right, early on.
But yeah.
But she didn't.
Yeah.
She didn't. And I was angry with her for a while because she was smarter than that. But we have the tendency as African Americans to trust what the doctor says.
Sure.
And that's not always good.
Right.
Instead of making like a conversation about, okay, here's my health, here's how I'm feeling, what do you say? And based upon my research and how I'm feeling, this is what I believe is going on.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
So it sounds like that your organization, you're about educating folks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so what are some of the challenges you see in that outreach education, health education?
It's tremendous.
Really?
Yes. First, there are a lot of people that don't want to believe that they have any health issues.
Really?
Yes.
I can believe it.
I'm sure you can. They don't want to believe it.
Right.
And so when you try to share with them, they don't really want to hear it.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest challenges that we see is getting them to believe. And then there's the great mistrust in the medical system.
Right.
Yeah, right. Especially for
African Americans.
Yes. Yeah. Just with the history.
Yes. Yeah. And I understand that. I understand that because I know that history. But you can't let that stop you from advocating for yourself.
Right.
And then you take a little bit of time and research.
Yeah.
That's why we have computers
and
WebMD and Google.
And books. Yeah.
But we won't always do that.
Yeah.
And my family was a prime example. They didn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, today you're walking around with a computer in your pocket or your purse.
Figure out wherever. What's wrong.
And as you look around, people are always on that little computer.
Yes,
But they're not looking up their medical history.
Right.
Right. They're looking at entertainment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you say the biggest challenges is folks just won't believe or they won't take action when it comes to their health or a pain or.
The first challenge is acknowledging. That something is wrong.
Right.
And especially women, we as women, I mean, we can have a severe headache, jaw ache, every other kind of ache. And we'll say, oh, I'll take an aspirin, that'll feel better. Mm-hmm. I'll take a Tylenol and I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll wait till the last minute.
Right.
Yeah.
To do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it, I mean, African-American women have so many challenges.
Yes, we do.
And you have so many things on your plate and on your shoulders, and you just like carry this huge weight, sort of like the weight of the community.
Right.
Right.
And so, but yeah.
So we can't stop to take care of the body.
Right.
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 We have to get this done and get this kid to school and go to the church for this and that. And me, who have all the tools, know all the resources.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking one morning. I walked 3 miles a day. I did for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking and I get to a point where I feel shortness of breath.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, So in my mind, I went through all the risk factors.
Yeah.
Every sign of heart disease, mm-hmm. every sign of a heart attack. Ah, that didn't fit.
Okay, okay.
So I said, okay. I slowed up, turned around, started back home, felt better, went home, got dressed, went to the university, worked up there, left there, went to a board meeting, left the board meeting, went home. Mm-hmm. Still wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
But then when I get home, I tell Jim, I don't feel good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you don't feel good later, we go into the ER. I said, now, you know, that's the last place I want to go.
Right.
So the next morning, I called my cardiologist.
Yes.
And I said, I really don't feel good. And I'm having some symptoms that I think maybe we should check out.
Yeah.
So I went in and they did a cardiac cath. And they found that I have 75% blockage in my two main arteries. The two running together.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Guess what I said? I got to speak in Houston in a few days.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Guess what?
What?
I went to Houston.
I was about to say, you probably went to Houston.
I did indeed. It was a Delta convention.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I had to speak.
Hopefully you weren't speaking about health and heart health. Right. Sitting up there knowing you should have had that address.
Jim called me every night.
Yeah.
And I worked. I hosted a huge luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke. I was there for 8 days.
Wow.
And then I came back home.
Uh-huh.
And then I told Jimmy, we're going to get second, third opinion. And then I'll call the head of the cardiology department at Salver and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll decide when I'm going to do surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did those. Didn't like none of the second opinion doctors.
Right.
But when I called the head of the Salver department and talked to him, he said, meet me for lunch. I said, okay. Me and Jim met him. He says, I want you to get in the hospital. I'm calling them today. I'm setting it up. This is serious. You need to go get this done.
Wow.
I said, but I need to go to Wanda, forget Vegas and any place else.
Uh-huh.
You need to get this done.
Yeah.
And so I did after that.
Yeah.
But here I am.
Yeah, with all the knowledge.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
But there's nothing wrong.
No.
Right.
I have something to do.
Right. Wow. Who else is going to do this if I'm not going to do it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But that's typical of women. My girlfriend was going to the theater and was having a heart attack.
Oh.
But she didn't want to miss that.
She didn't want to miss either.
Play.
Mm-hmm. She had season tickets. So.
Wow. Oh. Yeah.
But that's typical of African-American women. We have a role. We have things to do. And we want to get it done.
Right.
And even though I was scolded severely by the staff at Salver for what I did.
Right.
There were two things. My faith in God and the fact that I knew that I had taken care of myself.
Mm.
I ate properly, I exercised, I did all the things that I was supposed to do, but I ignored the fact that as an African American, I had a history of heart disease in my family.
Hmm.
I knew that.
Right.
So I ignored that fact.
Yeah.
Right.
And dealt with the others. Hmm. So physically, I was in good enough shape to survive it. And the surgery went well and I did good afterwards because I was in good shape. But it was a foolish thing to do.
Sure.
And not a lot of women walk 3 miles a day. They don't do the stuff that you did.
I know.
No.
I know.
And they wouldn't have made it through.
Yeah.
That's true.
And to be wise enough to call the doctor, get a second and third opinion well. That's really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's very important.
I mean, one of the questions I was going to ask you is that you are really focused on heart health.
Mm-hmm.
And so much to the fact that, well, I mean, the one thing is that I've been told that 50% of African Americans will not get CPR when they're having some type of episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you took hands-on CPR training.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And we have trained over 6,500 people.
Yeah.
I
understand that you then did a video.
I did. Yes. I have one online.
You did a video of CPR and that you have personally trained.
Yes.
6,500.
That's because, Ken, so many times we as African Americans, and then a lot of other people also, were so afraid to touch a person if mm-hmm. they fell, if they right. collapse. We right. thought, we're going to get a disease. Or,
yeah.
or
sure.
And especially with AIDS.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
we just would not help.
Right.
But
just sit and watch and yes. wait for the ambulance mm-hmm. or whatever. When
and a person will die. So chest compression allows you not to have to do mouth to mouth. It's chest compressions.
Right. Yeah.
You just simply press on the chest to keep the blood flowing.
Right.
And you save that person's life. Even if you break a rib,
right.
yeah. you save a life.
Yeah, right. better to have yeah. a broken rib and still be alive than to even feel the rib pain, mm-hmm. you know.
So we made it a point. I mean, we went everywhere. We go to parks, churches. Mm-hmm. We've been to Raytheon many times. Mm-hmm. We do the Native American group at Raytheon and mm-hmm. the African American group at Raytheon. We go to every church that'll let us in. The blessing with that is that we have professionals, doctors that will go with us.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to all the doctors at Sovereign.
Wow.
Wow.
So anytime we go out in the community
mm-hmm.
and we want to talk about maybe heart disease and diabetes, we can take a specialist with us.
Nice.
To talk about
great.
Diabetes.
That's great.
And then today we have a young African-American cardiologist that mm-hmm. we are just thrilled about.
Mm.
And she's looking into disparities in African-Americans in healthcare.
Oh, love great. It.
And mm-hmm. that is fantastic for us.
Well, that's, yeah,
and
that's
we take her everywhere.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So we're just proud to have her.
Right, right, right. Well, hey, it's time for us to take a break, but
okay.
we will be right back, and we're going to be bringing you more of the good news here mm-hmm. talking to Wanda Moore. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you a local business or entrepreneur looking for the winning edge to promote your business? We here at Octavia Media got you covered. Our award-winning marketing strategies are guaranteed to produce the best results to make your business stand out beyond your competitors. You can find us at OctaviaMedia.com for more information. Octavia Media is a Black-owned business dedicated to building your brand and empowering your business.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here with my co-host, the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
And we are here bringing you the good news. We're going to continue our conversation with Wanda Moore.
Ooh.
Man, she's done some great things around town here in Tucson. Yeah, she is so committed to women's and minority health, and it's phenomenal. So Wanda, so we were talking about some of the challenges you have with just trying to educate folks when it comes mm-hmm. to heart health and just overall health, especially in the minority community altogether. So how has COVID-19 affected, you know, all the, you know, the things you've been trying to do, especially all the CPR training and mm-hmm. just the hands-on stuff that you try to do? How's COVID-19 affected that?
Well, it was quite a challenge because we were not allowed to do the CPR training.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to find other resources and other things that we could do
okay.
that would still keep people educated mm-hmm. and aware of what was going on. And COVID had such an impact on the minority community.
Right.
Like
right.
everything else,
mm-hmm.
right.
the highest level of deaths were African Americans.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so some of the things like isolation and not knowing how to use Zoom
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
help, not being able to go to doctor's appointments. So we took it upon ourselves to teach the community, anybody who was interested, how to use Zoom.
Oh, mm. wow.
So we did Zoom trainings. We did two classes to mm-hmm. teach them how to do telemed communications.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that we would start our meetings where we'd have doctors come and speak to us, and we would do those on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So we cool. would teach them how to use Zoom so we could stay connected.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We could check on one another
mm-hmm.
and then get them involved in listening to the presentations from the doctors because those still happen every month.
Right, right.
And so we did that. And then we put together a newsletter on COVID-19, and I brought one for each of you.
All right, that's cool.
We put together a newsletter about COVID-19 and the impact in the minority community, and we had Dr. Breathitt do an article on the disparities in that area, and then we design a health information card, and we distribute thousands of them in the community, and we did it safely.
Yes.
And then we put together little kits, and I brought you each one of those.
Thank you.
Wow, look at this.
It has a health information card in it, and it has individual hand sanitizers that we delivered to churches, and everybody who came to the church for any reason, they could give them out. Oh. And more importantly, we wanted that information on the health information cards out in the community to tell them what to do, how to be safe.
Right.
And then the other challenge was teaching them not to fear the vaccine.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
We were so afraid that so many African Americans wouldn't take the vaccine.
Right.
And I started with the committee first. We talked about it. We talked about their fears and their hesitation about doing it. And before it was available, we started talking. And I said, tell me how many of you are hesitant about taking this vaccine. And so on that particular Zoom call, I think maybe six said they were hesitant. Two said they weren't going to take it. And the other said they would. And I thought, okay, that's a good start. So I allowed those that were hesitant to tell why. And were they ready to get out of this mode of being at home? And last week I had a meeting. And everybody on my committee had had their shots.
Wow. So congratulations.
I was so excited.
But
the newsletter helped. The health information card helped. And we got them out. We'd meet on my patio. Sit 6 feet apart in our masks.
Yeah.
And put the kits together to deliver.
Oh, wow.
To the churches and stuff. So we stayed busy the whole time.
Yeah.
We had a meeting every month so we could update each other and tell them what was going on and listen to new doctors' research and information about minority health, which was great. So, and we'd be so excited to see each other on Zoom.
Wow, we
miss the physical.
Yeah,
but seeing each other on Zoom, we just talked, and we'd have to eventually be quiet so the speakers could speak.
Right.
But so during COVID, we stayed busy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We stayed busy, and I'm really grateful to say that only two persons that I know, one sorority sister and another friend, got COVID.
Oh, okay.
But they survived.
That's great.
That's good.
They survived.
That's
good news. So that's good. And you'll see that in the newsletter I'm going to give you.
Okay.
What were some of the hesitations that they had? What did they say was their hesitation?
Certainly you've heard of the story of Henrietta Lacks.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was one.
Right. Yeah. And for those who are listeners, could you explain that story so that way people don't
Henrietta Lacks was a person who had cancer. And they discovered that she had cancer, but her cells were very, very valuable. So they started using her cells in many, many kinds of research. But her family was never aware of it. They never told them that they were using her cells over and over again. Billions of dollars worth of health research was done on those cells. And none of the family was ever acknowledged. And they made lots of money and none of
certainly not compensated.
Absolutely not. So the story, there's a book and there's a movie about it now. And it is just so sad that they took her cells without authorization to get them. And then they used them. And then, of course, there was the syphilis story.
Right, of course.
With the men. And so all of those things make people not trust the medical system. And we did hear that. Some people said that the vaccine had
some kind of gene.
The microchip.
Yeah,
a microchip. Yes.
The microchip in it. And some people really believe that.
Yeah.
How could you put microchip in a vaccine?
Right.
But those were some of the things that people were afraid of, and they were hesitant about this drug. Some people felt it was too fast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because historically, it takes a while.
Right. Historically, it does. Mm-hmm.
It does, yeah.
So it was expedited, but mm-hmm. it went through all of the proper procedures. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. But they were hesitant, but at least all of my groups, and I'm telling you, I call my family,
mm-hmm.
And I encourage everybody to get their vaccines, mm-hmm. and they did.
Yes.
They Good. Did.
And everybody we knew, we mm-hmm. called.
Right.
We did, I'm on the IMA health and wellness team as well.
Right, yeah. right.
And we did on Facebook with Dr. Cullen
mm-hmm.
and two other health public health professionals
mm-hmm.
That talked about Menardi's and the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. So, and it made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the challenges they asked for is that we need more vaccines in the minority communities.
Right.
We need where people are.
Right.
At that
right,
time, right, we only had three sites.
Right.
Right.
So now they're at most of the churches.
Right, right, yeah. right. Mm-hmm. I know Rising Star was certainly a
yes.
leader in,
oh,
in,
yes.
in that.
Yeah. Yeah. They were strong advocates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was some of the challenges we had with them.
Right, right,
but
right.
they overcame them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they did a good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like your organization, that you guys do very well with working with other community organizations around town. Is that?
Yes, we do.
Right.
Yes, we yeah. do.
Not a lot of people can do that, but yeah.
Well, see, the blessing is that a lot of women on the committee, mm-hmm. we have AKAs, we yeah. have Deltas, we have right. Links,
yeah.
we have from the NAACP,
mm-hmm.
we have almost every major organization of African American women, we have representation.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
And then we have representation from the various churches.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we can get into the churches as well.
Right. Yeah. Right, right.
So that makes the difference, and it helps to expand the outreach
mm-hmm.
and reach more people.
Yes. Okay.
But having the major organizations like Deltas and Links and AKAs,
mm-hmm.
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome because mm-hmm. when we come together, we can do awesome things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's only when we come together right. can we do awesome things.
Yeah, for sure.
And I knew that. I knew that.
Right.
So what are some of the things you have coming up? What's next for community
We're
projects?
We're in the process of doing self-monitoring blood pressure.
Okay.
We know that 50% of African Americans have high blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and half of them don't know they have it.
Mm. Right, right.
So that's horrendous. So we partnered with the American Heart Association
mm-hmm.
to send us blood pressure cuffs.
Ooh.
Okay.
So we got blood pressure cuffs, and now we're working to distribute them in the community. I spent Saturday delivering blood pressure. We trained 12 to 15 women.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So we trained them to train the individual people that we would select to get the cuffs
okay.
and teach them the proper use of the cuffs.
Right. Sure.
And then we have to monitor them. So they each got a card mm-hmm. for every month. So they have to take their blood pressure and record it.
Okay. Every day.
And Good. So we're monitoring them, and getting those cards back is going to be the challenge, but we're going
right.
to
Right, of course.
Right, right, right.
So that is our big, big program. And then we are reaching the churches, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got maybe 9 or 10 churches
mm-hmm.
that we're delivering the blood pressure cuffs to.
Oh, okay.
And they're dispersing them in the church among their members. And then there's a member that's been trained, and that person will report back to us, and mm-hmm. we will report to the American Heart Association.
Got
that's,
it.
Yeah, that's,
so
that's
I'm
wonderful.
Really, really excited mm-hmm. about that one. Mm-hmm. That's one of our big ones, even though we're always looking for another avenue to get African Americans to pay attention to their health.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to do the blood pressure cuff for 6 months.
Okay.
Kick
okay.
it off May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Until October. We're sincerely hoping that in September, we can go back to face-to-face meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we want to do a program that talks about the impact of COVID-19 heart disease on the African American community.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, you said COVID-19 heart disease, not COVID-19 and heart disease, COVID-19, but COVID-19.
The impact it's had on people with heart disease, because a lot of people that had heart disease were sick.
Right.
But we didn't go to the hospital because they didn't want to get COVID.
Right.
That's
very
scary.
True. Right.
That's really scary.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that and the impact it had on the health of a lot of people that had heart disease. And that's one of the reasons we taught them how to use Zoom so they could talk to their doctors and let them know they weren't feeling good.
Right.
But the hypertension is huge. It is huge. So that's where we're headed.
Yeah, hypertension it is. Did you guys do anything because, you know, type 2 diabetes is pretty high in the community too.
Our last community conference was on heart disease and diabetes.
Yeah. Okay.
I tell you what, I'll send you a newsletter on that one.
Right.
We did a topic on that one too.
Yeah. Right.
No, yeah.
Yeah, diabetes is huge among African Americans.
Right. Yeah.
And Ken, as I said earlier, all the major diseases are.
Right.
Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And just the acknowledgement that you have it, your risk factors, and what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's our goal, to educate people on those facts.
Yeah. So how do you measure the success, the work you do with the committee?
The one key thing is to have someone come up and tell you, I was in your session.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped eating this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I am now off diabetes medicine.
Oh. Yeah.
That's priceless.
Yeah.
Right.
I walked in church. I was visiting a church and I walked in and this lady came up to me and she hugged me and she held me and she's holding me tight. And
you're like, when are you going to let go?
I said, hi, how are you?
Right.
You saved my life.
Oh.
How did I save your life? I changed my habits. I stopped eating this and I started doing this. And then we both stood there and cried.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
wow.
Those are the priceless things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To know that you have made a difference in someone's life that may save their life.
Right.
Yeah.
Because life saving is what we're about.
Yeah.
Right.
Teaching the education that we do. So hearing people tell us their stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And come back and say, I'm doing better.
Mm-hmm.
We had a meeting one time. We talked about going to the church and telling people about, you know, how the church meetings and they have the fried chicken and the greens and all that good southern food.
Mm.
And we said, could you change it a little bit?
Yeah.
Just have baked chicken.
There you go.
You start out now.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to change your whole lifestyle.
Mm. Right.
Just change a little bit at a
time. Right.
And it makes a difference. So
yeah, every little bit helps.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps. So we did that and it did make a difference. But that's my greatest asset. People telling me, and the fact that we have spent over 600,000 hours in our community.
Wow.
Volunteering.
Wow.
That says I have a good group.
Yeah.
Because if I call at 6 o'clock in the morning, you say, we're going at 9 o'clock, we got to be in Saddlebrook. And I need you to go. I had one girlfriend who would tell me, don't call me before 9. So I'd call her 9 at night and say, hey.
Good way to get around it.
Yeah.
It really sounds like you help people get their life back.
Yes.
Like that's the biggest. You give them the power to take on their life and be empowered to take on their life.
Exactly.
Fully. And they're through their health and wellness, because we only have one health. We only have one body. This is it. So the ability to empower and show them how to use that body, that your health, most importantly, in such a empowering way to say, hey, look, this is who I am. This is what's going on. I'm going to take action and get action and steps to do it. That's really miraculous.
And to say, you're in charge.
Yes. Yeah.
You're in
absolutely
charge.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. That's our goal. Empowering people to take care of their health.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know you came to Tucson. You jumped right in.
Yeah.
And
she didn't like it at first, though.
Yeah. Even though you didn't like it at first. But the impact that you have had over those, you know, from the 90s and up until now. And then all the things you've done, and along the way, you have had some, you know, where you've been recognized, people giving you your flowers.
Yes.
I know back, what, 2006, you won the Phenomenal Woman Award.
Yes.
Wow.
Right. You won the Governor's Volunteer Service Award.
Yes.
Right. You won the Brian Bateman Superb Service Award. And then in 2017, and that was when you were the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona, and you were the luncheon honoree.
Yeah, first African American.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, it's
1,100 attendees.
Right. Oh. No.
Sold out.
Wow.
It was a beautiful thing, and just, you know, the things and that they, all the work that you've done, and the things that they've said about and. And just being honored there was such a, so I mean, you've done a group, and you know, there's even more. Mm-hmm. And I know, so you've done so much, and I know I'm certainly grateful. I know there's a lot of people that you've worked with, just like the lady that said and came up to you and said, you know, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know we'd like to say thank you for all the work and things that you've done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
but the priceless thing is that lady that came up to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a young man from Raytheon, we got him to lose weight.
Hey.
Yeah.
And he called us and told us, I've lost weight. And we were so excited.
Oh, I love it.
That, I mean, that's more priceless than any award.
Sure. Right, right.
Because
right,
you
right.
know you've made a difference in somebody's life.
Right.
And that's what we're about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we're about. That's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. That's great. So, you know, we talked a bit about, and you said that, you know, Delta Sigma Theta.
Yes.
And I know your heart is, it bleeds red. Well, for sure. But Delta Sigma Theta, and you guys are really active in the community. Talk. Tell us a little bit about your sorority here in town.
Well, you know, the good thing about our sorority here in town, we're visible.
Yeah.
We are visible. And we love the work we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's our foundation. Public service is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a problem doing it.
Yeah, you guys just had an event at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, you're mm-hmm. raising money. I mean, the mm-hmm. the whole event was about your charities, the work that you do. And then that's what it was all about. Right, and I just saw so many of your sorors coming through that day.
You missed me.
I was thinking I was in the back working when you came
Ken.
Through. I did miss you and Jim. They said, Jim and Juana was there, and I missed you. But
yeah, see, when we said we're doing something,
right,
mm-hmm.
we show up.
Yeah.
We show up. So I came early because mm-hmm. I thought, Jim, let's go early. Because I know the group's going to show up.
Oh,
I don't want
yeah.
Ken to run out of anything before I get there.
Right. No, you all showed up in a big way. And it was, you know, again, I think you got a lot of support from the community because of the work, the good things that you're doing.
Because we're known for what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I took that risk and went to Houston for my Deltas.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's Deltas.
Yeah. No.
Delta for 33 years.
Hey.
No,
wow.
my the brother right under me, his wife is a Delta. And I've got friends I went to college with at Deltas. So I know a lot of Deltas and yeah.
There
you guys
are
very committed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To service.
The most phenomenal experience with Deltas was in 2013, our 100th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We showed up in D.C. They had never seen anything like it.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, we showed up in huge numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Imagine 66,000 Deltas.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They couldn't even seat all of us in one place.
All right.
And I
Man,
took
Jim. Man, you needed a stadium
right.
for that kind of event.
Right. But it was great.
Yeah.
Wow. And that shows our commitment to mm-hmm. Delta Sigma Theta.
Yeah.
So, this is a barbecue show.
It is, so believe it or not.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about food. And
yeah.
You said you're from the South.
I am.
So what did food mean to your family just kind of mm-hmm. growing up? And talk to a little bit, you know, who
my mom was a chef.
Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
No way.
But cooking was never what I wanted to do.
Yeah. But your mom was a chef. So what did you guys, I mean, how was it at your house? And
my mom could take anything in the refrigerator and make a meal.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Yes, she could. Mm-hmm. I'd look in and say, Mother, we don't have anything to eat. She could go in and she'd take whatever was in there. Mm-hmm. She could make a meal.
Wow.
I mean, so she was good at it. Mm-hmm. And my sister Joyce was very good cook, too. Mm-hmm. She thought that of the six of us in our family, she was the best cook.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Of the siblings, she was the best cook.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so anytime I'd attempt to make a dish, she would say, Me, what are you doing? Oh.
As if you were banned from kitchen or doing anything, right?
Yeah. They always made fun of me, but I can cook.
All right.
I can cook. Mm-hmm. And Southern food was it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and Ken, when I come to your place, mm-hmm. I have to make sure that I have dieted well.
Okay.
And then I'm going to exercise later.
Right.
So I prepare to go to get your food.
Right.
It's a whole preparation process before going in.
Oh, yeah. Because it's good and it's down home Southern. And so we enjoy it.
Right. Thank you.
I just make sure that I pay for it later.
What do you cook at home? Now knowing what you know, what do you cook at home? What's your routine that you
health and everything. Yeah.
I do a lot of baking. Mm-hmm. Jim loves fried chicken. I don't let him have it too often. Bake it, and we eat fish.
Uh-huh.
Very little beef.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We move away from sodas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because
they're just not good for you.
Right.
And Jim is not at the point where even the orange juice, you don't check to see how much sugar is in orange
juice.
Right. So we try to get fresh squeeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our lifestyle, and every once in a while, I know that consistently, if you stay on it that way, you get bored.
Right. You got to cheat every now. You got to go to Ken's every now and then.
Absolutely.
Right.
So that's what we do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We do good. And during the first of the year, we usually fast with our church.
Oh, okay.
So, but we fast from one specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Jim, during this time, we're going to do 3 days liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And then 2 days, no meat.
Mm. Okay.
And we do pretty good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But Jim wears out before I do.
He means well, though.
He means well. and he does good. He make it effort. Right, he does good.
Right.
But, and Jim likes to cook, but his mom was a great cook, too.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
But he just put things together. He's a better baker than a cook.
That's good.
Got it.
Yeah.
Because Ken, he makes this pecan pie.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he makes this pecan pie.
Wow.
And he get orders every Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. So he said he's got to taste yours to compare.
Yeah. I'm sure his is better than mine.
But he loves to get in the kitchen and bake.
Right. Oh, that's great. I think as you know, for the most part, is that you just have a way of eating, and you eat well, you eat mm-hmm. good, and you eat, you know, just, you know, a healthy diet.
Yeah.
In moderation.
And exercise.
In moderation,
yes.
Right.
And exercise.
And then you could have your, Jim can have his fried chicken or mm-hmm. his mac and cheese or
mac
whatever.
Cheese.
As long, you know.
I love your mac and cheese and your sweet potato fries.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a treat every now and then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you're living a healthy lifestyle, you can always go and have that every now and then. So,
yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the good part.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can do good, be heart healthy, and still enjoy your food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, do you have any tips for, or, you know, advice for our listeners?
The most important thing is to know your health history.
Mm-hmm.
Know what your family history is.
Family health history, mm-hmm. too.
Family history. And know your conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And always, always research just a little bit.
Yeah.
So when you go to a doctor for any reason, you have an idea what you're going for. And what to expect.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I had my doctor tell me one time to let her be the doctor, and I said, okay. But I knew what I was there for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, let me be the informed patient.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be a doctor.
And an advocate for
right,
myself.
Right, but I'm an advocate. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just want people to be advocate, and for older people always take somebody with you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they can hear what's being said.
Right.
And they can help advocate for you. That's mm-hmm. really, really important. Mm-hmm. For older African-American people, they don't get the care they should.
Right.
Mm.
And they need that person with them to advocate.
Yeah. Okay.
So I highly recommend for our older generation to take somebody with you. Mm-hmm. And for the younger, research and be prepared when you go to the doctor.
Okay. I hear a lot of times that people, and you kind of mentioned it, and I just want to know what your advice is here, is that they kind of think something's going on, but they just stay at the house.
Yes. Yes.
So what would you just advise to folks when it comes to that? Because, yeah, I mean, you hear it a lot. And somebody will say, Jason was, he was having a little this, but he said, I'll be all right. I'm going to stay here. And exactly. The next thing you know, some kind of massive thing. So mm-hmm.
One important thing is, and I'm going to share the health information card with you, is, and I did them small, pocket size,
mm-hmm. yeah.
so you can keep them with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you feel certain symptoms,
mm-hmm.
look it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at that card and see, oh, I'm having this. This is true.
Mm-hmm.
Then call your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Make immediate, and don't just lay around and say, okay, I feel like my mouth's falling down, drooping.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My
yeah.
arm is stiff.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
Call a hospital, 911 mm-hmm. right away and mm-hmm. do something about it, because time matters.
Yeah.
And either a heart attack or a stroke, time matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So please don't just sit around knowing you're not healthy. Call the doctor and tell them what's going on. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you what to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's certainly been a pleasure having you on the show. And mm-hmm. and I'm sure our listeners are going to be, they're certainly more well-informed.
Yeah.
And really appreciate you. And glad you and Jim made the move from Southern California to Tucson. And mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people in Tucson that are glad you all made that move too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I've made a lot of friends and acquaintances in Tucson.
Yeah, it's not a lot of people that do not know Wanda Moore, not mm-hmm. not in our community. So you've made a huge impact and a great impact on people here in Tucson.
That's my heart.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
And thank you for joining the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here.
It's been a pleasure. And thank you.
All right. Well, you take care. Bye. Thank you for listening to our podcast, Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. You can find us on anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can also find us on canshardwoodbbq.com. Just click podcast. This is Ken Alexander. See you next time.